All right, folks, it's that time of the week again for Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark Landing Crew Wheeler, and we're going to have a good show tonight, folks. Got some stuff to talk about, a little knowledge to send your way, and hope everyone is having a great week. I'd like to say hey to everyone in the chat room, Chip Gibson, Hammerhead, Greg Crisp, King Rat, and Mr. Mark Lozier. All right, so we're going to get into it. We've got a couple of reports coming in, so let's get on to that. We've got a report from out of Waterpreeg over on the eastern shore of Virginia that the flounder are here. They've been getting into them pretty regularly out there using the usual suspects, gulp. Mud minnow and squid, or just a live mud minnow. Doing pretty well out there. Oysters getting them pretty good. I know down south in the Carolinas, if you know if they can get out there, they've been getting a pretty good mess of flounder. The croaker have showed up. You're looking at up the James River, the Nansemond, York. They're doing really well out there. Bluefish have showed up in Rudy. So for you all that love smoked bluefish or to salt your baits for the flounder season, this is time to get on your bluefish. Was out there at the rail. Anyone who knows the area knows about the rail. And got three blues in 45 minutes. So that's a pretty good showing. The trout are here in force. Was in Rudy Inlet on Saturday. I had a gentleman that was demoing one of my kayaks, the Jackson Cuda, and we got on a pretty good trout bite there near the end of the day. The water was uber clear. And, folks, when I say uber clear, I'm not just talking like 1 or 2 feet. I'm talking I could stick my whole paddle in the water, hold the other blade, and I could still read the writing on the other blade. We're talking 4, 5, 6 feet of clear water. Looking at the bottom, I did see a couple of flounder flying around there in the really clear water. So that's an excellent sign. I was seeing a lot of good grass growing early this year. So those are really good signs. Caught a striper too. Really clean, really healthy 24-inch striper on Saturday. I forgot what it felt like to fight a warm striper. And, with the water temps in Rudy Inlet and in Lynn Haven in the back areas approaching, the mid-60s in Lynn Haven and in, low 60s in Rudy in the back. I mean, it was stellar. Then Sunday was the same way, folks. Get out there. Don't be afraid of it. But the key for Sunday was hitting the not-so-clean water. I.e. with a little bit of tint, we're talking, 1 or 2 foot viz, and saying, just running a bait just over top of those oyster bars, over top of those oyster clumps, the trees, anything with cover is what they're keying on, I told her over 20 trout, between 17 and 6 inches, so, they're out there. So some better sizes, but you can get on them. But yeah, folks, things are starting to really kick up. The tog bite is excellent right now. If you can find structure that holds tog, i.e. anything, you can really get on them. So get out there, folks, with the afternoon thunderstorms, just like in the summer. Your best time for this coming weekend is in the morning. Looks like the winds are going to be pretty low, and then the storm should kick up after, 1, 2 o'clock, hopefully. So get out there, get on the fish, keep an eye on the sky, please, and always go with a partner. All right. Let's get on the topic of the night. But before we do, this segment is brought to you by the Bonefish Tarpon Trust. support the Bonefish Tarpon Trust in protecting all bonefish, tarpon, snook, permit, everything. So remember, folks, Bonefish Tarpon Trust.
Give me the Flats of Dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome east, man.
I got one.
Oh, damn, I got him. You got it. I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
All right. Tonight's topic, folks, is you know, something that everyone should learn. And that's reading the water and you know, being on the water terminology. What do I mean by that? We're talking about, you know, what an eddy is, you know, what, you know, confused seas are, little things like that. So, you know, we're going to start off tonight with on the water terminology that everyone should know or just have a base knowledge of. So let's get started with that. We'll start with the basic concepts, basic things. Current. What is current? Current is natural water movement. If you're on a river, you always know how the current moves. If you're out in the ocean, current is the pulling of the tides, the, you know, anything like that. Usually you can predict them very well. Usually you can't. But, you know, basic knowledge is key for understanding current. And we have our first caller. It is the one, the only, Mr. Greg Becker. What's going on, man?
Just living the dream in sunny downtown Apollo Beach, Florida.
Very nice, man. Very nice. Welcome.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Good. Just to give you a heads up, if you haven't been listening, the current topic is on the water terminology, i.e. eddies, currents, stuff like that, and, you know, definitions of what you should look for, and how to read the water to understand those things. So,
got it.
All right. Okay. You know, we're just explaining current, you know, basic water movement. You know, let's get into, you know, what else is there. Current is the main driving force of pretty much every species. You hear us talking about it all the time. You know, you got to find the current breaks. A current break is where there isn't current. So that falls into eddies. That falls into, well, just basically eddies that I can think of. Water temp changes, because that'll have an effect on current. Things like that. So let's talk about eddies and why they're so important. An eddy is an area of the water, usually the behind a current, behind a piece of cover or structure, something where the current isn't as strong. Usually, you can see it on the surface by an area of, you know, circling foam is the best way to explain. If you see it, it'll just be a circling little area of foam, or you can actually see the water kind of circling in one spot. Usually, it's behind a pylon, or on the corner of off a point. Things like that are fish havens. Fish love to sit in there. The reason for that is they don't have to work as hard. They're not fighting the current. Fish like to keep their nose in the current. So if they have a way of getting away from that current, just to rest for a little bit, ambush prey, stuff like that, they're going to do it. And eddies are key for that. You know, another thing that really dictates things are tides. For those that fish freshwater and don't really understand how tides work, tides are a force from the moon. It's a gravitational force from the moon that raises and lowers the depth of the water. Any of those that have never been out to the ocean or seen this, you know, you'll be sitting there, all of a sudden the water goes away from you, and it's, you know, on the beach, and then all of a sudden it's at your toes again within, you know, 12 or 24 hours. Usually it's 6 hours. In some areas it's different. Or even if you live on the Great Lakes, you're going to experience a tidal change. Greg, do you have any other, key things that you can think of?
Yeah, we just cut back to current breaks for a second. Another one that a lot of people don't look at, but especially in moving waters and in rivers and places like that where you might have a real strong tidal flow, is a current seam. And that's an area of the current where the water's still flowing, but you've got a border area between a faster current and a slower current. A lot of times fish will stack in the slower current, just inside the slower current, but pointing out towards the faster section of current so that they can see and grab anything that comes by. Especially steelhead. Steelhead will, if you get steelhead and brown trout in the same water, you'll find, if you find a current seam with a little bit faster water, let's say on the right-hand side, looking upstream, and a little bit slower water on the current to the current seam on the left-hand side, you'll find all the steelhead stacked up on the right-hand side of the seam, and all the brown trout stacked up in a little bit slower water. They act sometimes just as well as structure does in terms of attractors for fish. So even if you don't have something blocking the current completely, look at places where it changes or areas where something's making it change speed. Maybe it's a little bit shallower, a little bit deeper, and you'll get what appears to be, although it's not a physical structure change, you will get a change in the current, and that can be enough to attract and hold fish as well.
Yeah, definitely. And that comes into the next topic, and we'll probably hit it, we'll probably mention something. Oh, that's a good thing to mention.
Great. Sorry to step on your topic list.
What's that?
Sorry to step on your topic list.
No, it's fine. That's an excellent point. That's reading the water. It's something that I learned from my grandfather, was reading the water, reading what was going on out there. And I think it's a dying art, I guess it is, or educational piece for people, because everyone goes out and they buy a fish finder with the side imaging and, the fish identification system, whatever else, and they lose that ability to read the water. I had this kind of dropped in my lap this past weekend fishing with Jack, the gentleman I took out, and he started asking me, what are you looking for? And I mentioned one or two things, and he sit there and go, well, what does that mean? So I kind of realized that not everyone knows the same thing, and it's something, I take for granted. So folks, when you get out in the water, pay attention. And I told him that the most basic function is looking around and seeing something that's different. What could that be? Give you an instance in Rudy. There's a lot of areas where when the wind blows, you'll see a ripple on the surface. And then in areas you won't see a ripple, it'll still be flat calm. And it could be that there's a tree 20 yards away that's just blocking most of the wind. It could be, that you can't see that area is really shallow or really deep. It's different. And I like to fish different areas. So, those little things, you'll find that little different piece of the puzzle. It could be an upwelling. If you're fishing a little bit farther offshore, that is a major fish spot. Just like you said, the current seam there, Greg, the upwelling is an area that fish will stack up on because either A, the current's running into a shelf, it's running into a large wreck, or two converging currents, one coming from your left and the right. It's like watching, the waves hit on the surface, how they bulge up. That's an upwelling. And that is a very good sign. You'll see these in a classic term called a rip. And what a rip is two converging currents meeting at one spot. And that it is a very confused sea. If you don't know what a confused sea is, usually waves will go from your left to your right. That's, just for instructional purpose. Waves are going from left to the right. On the other side, they're going from right to left. When they meet, that is a confused sea where there's just no, what's the best word? no uniformity to the waves. They're all over the place. That is an area that fish will stack in because the water is just so confused. Those fish can get down in the area and they'll find a spot where there is A, current, or B, no current whatsoever, a pocket, an eddy that they'll get into and hold and watch everything happen and the chaos around them. And it's, you know, one of those places where you need to fish. You see any difference, you know, the water is a little bit choppier for whatever reason. Bait fish could do it. It could be an upwelling. It could be that current seam. It could be anything different. There's something going on there. And, you know, after you catch a couple of fish and you're not catching any more, go over and see why it's happening. It could be a simple thing as water is running over top of a shallow oyster bar and it's catching in a trough and pulling back up and rotating like it does on one of those small dams, the low overhead or underfoot dams, or however you call them. And that's just creating that disturbed water. You know, anything like that is key to being successful on the water. And not just knowing the bottom, but understanding what you can see on top. You know, and this becomes a really good thing when you're fishing along a shoreline or along rocks. You can find those deeper holes or shallower holes by watching the waves. And I explained it to Jack out on jetties outside of Rudy Inlet. And you can see where the waves are coming in and slamming against the rocks in some spots. In other spots, it would start to build and then just die off. And I mentioned, and the reason for that is waves build on shallower water. And when they reach their peak is when they break. When they are building and then all of a sudden drop off, that means that the water is deeper and there's no area for that wave to keep its momentum. It's like pulling out the, pulling out the front tire on a bike. You know, you'll be riding real fast, all of a sudden the front tire goes out. Guess what you're doing? You're going down. Same concept. Being able to read little things like that, you know, Chris, please don't go on here and start pushing buttons. having that, seeing those minor differences, is really, you know, Greg, I mean, you can attest to this as being a trout fisherman up in upstate New York and salmon fishermen. You know, those little differences, that little current break or that water just doesn't look at the same as the surrounding area, usually will hold something. Am I correct in that assumption?
Absolutely. And one of the best ways I've found to, as a guide, to teach people how to see those things, if they're looking at the water and they're trying to figure out what the water is doing on the surface, it's sometimes very challenging for people to get. I used to teach them to look at the reflection and look at the reflection of the sky or look at the reflection of the grass or the trees. For us saltwater guys now, looking at the trees is kind of difficult if you're out in the middle of nowhere. But look at the reflection of the sky. And if you're looking at the reflection, it's easier to see changes in the surface, changes in the water. Because if you're looking at water, water is water, and if you don't know what a bump looks like, but you can tell when something's different about the reflection in the water. And that's that was one way that I used to tell people who had difficulty seeing differences in the water what things to look for. And especially on small trout streams, you know, or smaller bodies of water, it may look like nothing more than a pencil line that's a change that indicates that something's there. But if you have that, it's worth at least taking a minute to explore and see what's around. Because in the absence of physical structure, current changes are really what will attract and hold the fish.
Right. You know, and you know, that's a great point. You know, if you have moving water, or if you have structure but no moving water, i.e. you're in the back of a cove, this is saltwater fishing, folks, not many of your predatory species are going to be there, i.e. a dock, you know, things like that. But if there's some sort of tidal movement or current around that structure, the fish will be there, usually, because it's a way for them to get, like I said, fish are lazy. your stripers, your flounder, your trout, your reds, they're lazy. Granted, they'll work the flats and do everything else, but you'll find a good majority of them in those current breaks, in areas where they don't have to work hard, because it's a dog-eat-dog world. And a lot of times, if they can't catch the fish, you know, or bait or whatever they're trying to get, it's easier to sit there and have it come to them. It's like, you know, ordering Chinese food. You know, you don't have to go and pick it up, but you can always have it delivered. Same kind of idea. So we have
absolutely
a couple people in the, yeah. We've got some people in the chat rooms. We've got, of course, you, Mr. Fly Reel, Mr. Chip Gibson, Daddy Gibson, Hammerhead Greg Crisp, King Rat, Mr. Lozier, Mrs. Lozier, Redfish Chuck, Mr. Rob Choi, and Jack Angler Adam. What's going on, everybody? And especially this time of year, and we're going to get back on topic. This time of year, I find that if you can find those differences, because these fish are moving in from a hard winter of, you know, sparsely eating because they've been cold, water temps are picking up, they do become more aggressive, but at the same token, they're tired. You know, they've been fighting, they've been dealing with crazy currents and, you know, storms, especially here in the Northeast, when we have good Northeast, you know, nor'easters. Those fish are out there, and granted, they're probably not feeling a lot of it, but the barometric pressure fluctuating will affect them in some sort of way. So these fish are, you know, coming back into these inlets, moving around structure. That's why, you know, the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel here in Virginia is so productive, because it is structure. They can get around it. There are things going on it. The sheep's head, the tog, the trigger fish, the, you know, the spade fish, all have something to feed off of the pylons and the rocks. Maybe not spade fish, but, you know, and then once they move in, and they start spawning, then you got the blues and you know, the striper, that stay here all year, you know, the cobias start moving in, and then the Spanish mackerel move in, and when the Spanish mackerel move in, the king mackerel are right behind them. You know, you can see that progression, but they need, you know, especially, you know, the main ones we find in the kayak, the redfish, the the flounder, the trout, stripers, stripers are a big, lazy fish. they don't like to work very hard for their food, especially the biggins. The biggins like to sit, you know, behind a jetty, sit behind a rock, and just sit there and wait for the bait to get over top of them. So that is one major, you know, thing with stripers. You find the current, and you find the cover, especially in the fall and in the springtime, you will find stripers. It's almost a guarantee. I'm going to say 85% of the time. So.
And, you know, Mark, the reason for that really makes sense when you think about it. You know, it's true that fish are lazy, but the reason they're lazy is kind of a species survival thing. If they have to move a foot to, you know, to eat a 3-ounce bait or whatever, they get the benefit of that 3-ounce bait minus the energy they had to expend to move a foot. If they have to move 2 feet, then they burn twice as much energy and get that much less out of eating that same bait. So
right.
They'll look for stuff that's easier, and they'll look for stuff that's bigger. And if it's bigger and easier, it's a gimme.
Exactly. You know, this time of year is a great time to start throwing big baits. I know I caught a 10-inch trout on a 6-inch hoagie on Sunday. You know, that's insane for a trout to eat something that big, you know, in length. You know, it says something. You know, that they're aggressive. They want to feed. They're trying to get their energy up. A lot of these fish are starting to hit their spawning points. The stripers are moving up. It's moving up, and the river's following the shad for their spawn. They're munching on shad as they move up and in herring, you know, in the northern reaches. Spawn. Many of them down here are either A, spawning as we speak, or B, finishing up their spawn. They like to spawn in between, in the spawning reaches. We're talking up in the rivers and stuff like that. I think it's over 58 degrees is when they'll start moving in. For that's a constant water temp. So they'll move up and spawn and do their thing, and on the way out, they're just going to feed as much as possible. And usually that time of the year is now. They're feeding on the shad that are moving in. They're feeding on the croaker that are moving in. You know, the flounder that are moving in. And before anyone says, well, flounders breed offshore, there's several thoughts on that. It could be winter flounder. It could be the little sole that are out there. But they're feeding on flatfish, let's put it that way. You know, here coming up soon, I think it's in April, the tog will start spawning. So this is a time when fish need to feed to get their energy up before they expel a ton of energy spawning. You know, and if they can, you know, use as little energy as possible to get the biggest gain, they're going to do it. Root beer. Anyway, still reading the water. One thing that I can't stress enough is not just reading the water, but reading above the water, i.e. birds. Birds, folks, are fish, are the original fish finders for us, okay? If you can find birds and they're sitting on a spot and they keep on getting up and going back over to the same spot because the current's moving them, right, because the current's running that fast, you know, that might be a spot you might want to look at. Working birds, meaning they're in the sky, they're diving down, eating bait, doesn't mean that the fish aren't there. If you find a pod of birds that are sitting in one area, there's a reason that they're doing that. You have to understand, folks, ladies and gentlemen out there, I didn't say folks that time. How about that? Started to. But when you've got birds that sit in an area, they do it for one reason. The nature does not do something just to do something. They always do something for a reason. There's a purpose why those birds are there. It could be that they're, you know, because they have the magical skill of seeing in the water. Don't know how that is. But they can sit there and they look down and they know there's something down there. They know there's bait down there. They know there's something feeding. There's something there. You know, it could just be that there's a turtle. There's, you know, for whatever reason. Definitely check that out. I don't know how many times I've been tuna fishing or striper fishing, and there's just been a pod of birds in the middle of nowhere just sitting on a spot. You could be the bait fish or down deep for right now. You know, ran through it and started bailing fish when no one else was. Why? Because everyone else was looking up for working birds, but the birds that were sitting on the surface were the key. Excellent example for anyone who's fished the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. That area, if you can find a pod of birds and a light line, you'll find the stripers. I don't know how many times I worked the light line and seen guys fishing in an area where there's no birds. But the moment I found a pod of birds, it could be just one light. Sit up there, I can look down, and there's a pod of stripers or trout or anything. So being able to slide in there and fish them is key. Now, granted, any time you start fishing, those birds will fly away, you know, but you know where they are at that point. So, Greg, do you use birds down there, you know, like we do up here?
Absolutely. We look for the birds to help spot the bait. And where the bait are, there are bigger fish. I've been out on Tampa Bay a few times, not able to do anything. Can't find fish, can't find, you know, can hardly even find weeds, can't find out what the fish are doing or anything else. And see three birds circling and hitting the water, you know, even small birds, half a mile away. And almost without fail, it's worth the paddle to get to where they are. Because, like I said, they're not hanging out because they enjoy the scenery. They're there for the same reason everything else is, to eat. So it's as you say, they are the original fish finder. So between that and the Mark I eyeball, you can usually do pretty well.
Yeah, you know, I birds, seeing, you know, dead fish. You know, a lot of people will see dead fish and, you know, kind of go, ooh, and they don't investigate. Every time I see, ooh, speaking of birds, I just thought of one. Osprey and pelicans. Granted, osprey annoyed the pucker out of me. You know, diving down in the water, screeching all day long. But they'll tell you where the fish are usually. Especially out here when we start getting the bigger manhaden. You know, they'll find the pods, especially those pelicans. Those pelicans will find a pod of manhaden, and they'll just seem dive bombing and suicide bombing them. You know, that's, you know, two birds that definitely keep an eye on. When they hit an area, there's a reason for it. You know, just, you know, they're the same way as fish. Why expel a ton of energy for a little outcome when you can expel a little of energy and get a great outcome? Just checking up on what's going on in the wide world of the chat room. Baybridge Tunnel is overlooked too often. Yes, it is. Rip your face off, beer. Okay. And six different root beers. All right. Remember, folks, you can always call in or chat with it up in the chat room at any time during the live show. Go to kayakfishingradio.com, and then you can sign in with your Facebook account. Or you can call in, just like Mr. Becker did here, using Skype, and or our number is 714-816-4727. Now, we've talked about reading the water a little bit. You know, this is all experience stuff, folks. When you go out there and you see something different, for whatever reason, do not be afraid to fish it. And if you catch fish on something like that, make that as a mental note. Or if you have a log, and you have a log, right? You should have a log. Mention that in the log. You know, fish water that looked like this caught this. You know, after investigation found out it was this. You know, little things like that that you can go back and, you know, when you're doing your research and go, oh, you know, I got to remember that, you know, are always good to have. So time on the water is a an excellent tool, you know, because there's no better tool than, you know, experience. So I mentioned the fish finders. Let me go into how to, you know, take what you see on the surface to what you use on your fish finder and how it can help you in just understanding what's going on more. And, you know, the major thing is understand a fish finder isn't a, you know, 100%, you know, major thing. It is a tool to let us know what is going on. I don't use my fish finder to find fish. I use it to find food for fish. I eat bait, and I use it to figure out what is going on the bottom, i.e. Structure, ledges, drop-offs, channels, roadbeds when I'm freshwater fishing, brush, anything different. And be able to interpret bottom. Number one thing is, folks, when you look at the fish finder and you see on the bottom picture, and it's all dark. If you're using it, this is for black and white, or in grayscale, and it's a really dark bottom. meaning that is a soft bottom, usually, if you have your toned in correctly. But if you look at it and it's a real thin bottom, per se, that will tell you that it's a hard bottom. Rock, slate, gravel, things like that. It'll give you a better picture of what's going on, too. So, you know, being able to see that in conjunction with, okay, for instance, I'm fishing over an area, I see really confused water, but I don't know why it's confused. The current is running the same way when I pass over it. It's not changing. There's no major eddy. But when I slide over top of it, I look at the down machine, and I see a point that comes up that has a major upwelling spot. That lets me know, that's the reason. It could be, you know, bottom contour itself, a wreck, something is creating that point that's sticking up that is creating that confused water. Little things like that, folks, always help you to find fish. Because, like we said 100 times already tonight, fish need cover. Not only to feed on passing bait, but on, you know, to protect themselves from predators. Because everything needs something in the ocean. Something always eats a great white. It could be a shark, another big shark, it could be a whale. You know, there's something always hunting something in the ocean. So, Greg, you have anything else?
No, not really.
Okay. Coming events and things to know about, folks. Mr. Lozier is coming home on Sunday. I know that the Lozier clan and all of his buddies up here in Virginia Beach are... Wrong one. There it is. Finally, from his stint in Jacksonville, or in Florida for that matter. Welcome back, buddy. Good to see you up there. Things that are going on, too. The Mid-Atlantic Saltwater Expo, or sports show, up in Richmond is coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend. Definitely get up there. It's going to be a great time for everyone. A lot of good knowledge. So definitely check that out. It's the 28th to the 1st, I believe, or the 30th to the 1st. Up in Richmond, please check that out. See here, we got the Jersey Saltwater Show. Kaya Kevin's up there, so definitely check that out. You can always Google these things. What else is going on? We've got the Jamaica Bay Tournament coming up in May, folks. Definitely check that one out. It's going to be a great, great tournament. Pretty decently done with the entry fees, so definitely look into that. I don't even want to know. I'm trying to think of anything else that's going on. Support the ORV project down in North Carolina. Research ORV Access North Carolina. We got to support them because we all like to drive on the beach. Piping plovers taste like chicken. That should do it. Folks, remember the shad run is going on in the rivers, James River. The MS Shootout, that's what I wanted to say. MS Shad Shootout is going on. Mrs. Lozier, could you please post it onto the, help me about the flounder. Please post the MS Shootout info on the chat room. Please. It's a great cause, folks. Definitely check that out. We've got the two clubs in the area, TKAA and the Pirates of Lynnhaven, are doing their monthly and monthly tournaments. They're just for fun. I think it's no more than like $10 a month for each one. All going to nonprofits. You know, Heroes in the Water, stuff like that. And the end of the year races are going on too, so definitely check that out. Chuck wants to know about the flounder. The flounder buddy are here. went down with the kiddies yesterday to Sandbridge. Folks, the puppy drum are in the beaches, are in the wash. So go down there with some light tackle and you can have a lot of fun. I was watching a bunch of people pull them in. The flounder I moved into. Went down to Chicks Beach, fishing around the Bay Bridge Tunnel foot right there, and pulled in two flounder over 17 inches within 45 minutes. So they're there. They're getting here. Definitely check them out. Definitely get on them. For those that don't know, most likely Sunday, join me for the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel flounder tog slamming. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. Check with tkaa.org. I'll be posting more on that later on what the plan is for that as things get closer. So if you want tog, we'll go out there and we'll get them. So, all righty. I'd like to thank everyone that showed up in the chat room, Mr. Becker, for joining me.
It has been my pleasure, sir.
Tonight. It's, you know, talking about myself kind of gets old after a while. The info on the Saltwater Show in Richmond is www.midatlanticsaltwaterfishing.com. Definitely check that out. Coming up next week is Chad Hoover at the Atlantic River Company. I think meet and greet's at 5. He starts a seminar at 6. So go to the Hampton store. It's on Mercury Boulevard. Definitely check that out. I will not forget my camera. I'll make sure I take lots of pictures for the Bay Bridge Tumble trip. I have to now. It's part of the contract. So thank you, Mr. Becker. Thank you, everyone in the chat room who showed up. Mr. Choi, thank you. Redfish Chuck, Mr. Lozier, Mrs. Lozier, Mr. Crisp, Mr. Becker, and Adam, and anyone else that was in there before. Now for my shameless plugs. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. I'll do this one. Turn that down. Shameless plug time. All right, folks. Go to angling-addict.com to read Mr. Choi's blog. Excellent there. A lot of good info. Really good setup. So check out angling-addict.com. Mr. Redfish Chuck's website, Chuck's Kayak Fishing Adventures, and redfishchuck.com. Check them out. Great guide out of Titusville, Florida. Decently priced and will always get you on fish. He does a great job with that. Also join the group Space Coast Kayak Anglers on Facebook. Like it, love it, become a member. It's always good for you. And then the Lozers up here in Virginia Beach with their first landing kayak adventures. Definitely check that out. Great guy. We'll definitely get you on fish always. And how could I ever forget the Boondoggle up here in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. Definitely. Take a look at that on kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle or yakangler.com/boondoggle. It'll be a great time. We'll get you on fish. It'll be the most productive time of the year in my eyes for everything from fresh to salt to some really good eats. So definitely get in there. With spear lures. There we go. And then we've got yakangler.com, your ultimate tide fishing resource. Definitely check that out. TKA.org, Tidal World Kayak Anglers Association, great website. The tournament is a week prior to the Boondoggle, so stay a week, enjoy what Virginia Beach and Hampton Roads has to offer in between the two. What else? Akuma Fishing. Akuma line of products is starting to take the fishing industry by storm. So check out akumafishing.com. Jackson Kayaks. Folks, you can paddle or pedal the rest, but why don't pedal the best? Check out jacksonkayaks.com. Irish Water Dogs, great apparel company, irishwaterdogs.com. Out of Jacksonville, Florida, All-American. Definitely check them out. Mustad's Hook a Million Challenge. Go to mustad.com and, you know, join the effort in trying to win yourself $1 million. And Killcliff. What can I say something about Killcliff? Mr. Becker loves it. I love it. You should love it too. It is a recovery drink, not an energy drink. It will not get your head a buzzing, but it will make you feel much better afterwards. Aches, pains, nasty in-laws. Probably won't get rid of them, but it will help you with them. So definitely check out killcliff.com. And I'm going to keep it short.
And don't forget, if you're ordering from killcliff.com, use YakAngler, YakAngler, in the coupon field and get 10% off.
Oh, thank you very much. I completely forgot about that. It cures hangovers. Yes, it does.
That's what I hear.
Oh, yeah. Well, with all the B vitamins and everything else in there, it definitely should. I think that should do it. With that, if I miss someone, I'm sorry. If I miss a company that sponsors me, I'm sorry. Oh, Columbia. I got an email about that last week. Columbia Sportswear. Definitely check out the videos on YouTube. Some of the older stuff with Mom is definitely funny. Plus, their stuff will help you stay protected with their Omni Shield line of products, with the Bug Shield, the Blood and Guts line, and the SPF line. definitely a savior for those of us that are light-skinned and get burned easily. I'm not going to point out names, but those of us that do get burned easily definitely need to look into stuff like that. So definitely check out Columbia Sportswear.
You had colors on your legs I've never even seen before.
Shade of purple looks great on me, man. And the white blisters always feel good in chlorine. But anyway. With that, I'd like to thank everyone for showing up. Remember, folks, every night of the week, during the work week, you can sit down with us on Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm starting out with Redfish Chuck Show on Monday night, the kickoff show. And Tuesday night show with my neighbors down the road, the Double L's with Mark and Chris Lozier. And then my show, Wednesday night. Thursday night is the original Kayak Fishing Radio Show with the Godfather, the main man, Chip Treehugger Gibson. And then on Friday night is the late night show. Listen to them while you're drinking on the East Coast. It's with the Spike and Ike crew out in the West Coast. Definitely a great show. Two excellent anglers, two excellent people, for that matter. Their show is at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. And the rest of the shows are 8 Eastern for those nights. With that, I say thank you, everyone. I'm talking about root beer and eyeshadow. Wow.
You heard anyway, it here first, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first.
Yes. Check out the Boondoggle video online from the last Boondoggle. and prepare for the next one. It is going to be awesome sauce approved. So I'll finally call it. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. Listen to us on Facebook page. Become my friend on Facebook. I want you as a friend, and you should be a friend with me. Things are going to get good quick, so it's definitely stay tuned. And with that, I will say goodnight, Gracie, and catch everyone later. Always wear a PFD, take a kid fishing, and get you some. Good night, everybody.